It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Oh, the Commanders went to war yesterday in Baltimore, hon. And lost. And if it was a real war, obviously it would not have been pretty. Matt, coming up in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to tell you a story that's not going to surprise you. Okay, so stay with me. Make sure I don't forget. But a story that just happened during the top of the hour. In the halls here at Odyssey DC that you're probably not going to be surprised about, okay? That being said, again, there's no moral victories. I got it. I understand how this works. I'm a big boy. I understand. It's a loss. 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 But it's not a bad loss, if that makes sense, right? There are good losses. Well, let me rephrase. There are bad losses, and then there are losses. This is a loss. It's not a bad loss. This Sunday would be a bad loss. I think we all can understand and appreciate that. They didn't do enough good things on offense and defense. They did not run the ball. They had an aversion to running the football. Maybe they wouldn't have run the ball if they would have tried it. But again, you have to try. And they did not try hard enough. Yes, I understand what they were going against. Yes, I understand they didn't have Brian Robinson. So you can easily chalk it up to that. But I think it's a mentality, a mindset. I said on Friday, hey, man, you didn't think they could run a Dexter Lawrence and the Giants up the middle? And they ran it all down their throat. Now, again, you had Brian Robinson in that game, right? So you didn't yesterday. I got it. I understand it's not the same. Nobody was expecting. They came into yesterday averaging 178 rushing yards a game, I think the number was, that I put up. At one point, like midway through the fourth quarter, maybe more than midway through the fourth quarter, they had 45. Like, just because Brian Robinson isn't there, there shouldn't be, and because the Ravens' run defense is pretty good, there shouldn't be a 108 and 30-yard difference, right? The part of the reason, if not a good part of the reason, why they couldn't run the ball effectively yesterday is because they didn't even try. And there's no greater example of this than the second offensive series, which I just illustrated for you. 301-230-0980. Let's get back to the calls and get you guys aboard. And let's go to Lou right here off the top. And then we'll get to Johnny and the Birdman and Mitch and everyone else. What's up, Lou? How are you?
I'm good. What's going on, Chris?
What's shaking, Lou?
First, I got to disagree the fact that you saying my quarterback didn't play well. I mean,
he I didn't say that. I didn't I say was... that. You're not listening, Lou. I love you, but you're not listening. I said he played good to very good. He did not play great.
What do you want him to? He didn't have the ball in the last minute when we needed to try to make
I didn't blame him. I didn't blame him for that.
Is that what he's looking for?
No, I just told you. He threw a ball wide behind third down on the second series of the game to OZ. He missed Terry McLaurin in the red zone at the other end of the field and got sacked on third down. He overthrew Noah Brown wide open on a third down roll to the right. I mean, again, I'm just giving you three specific examples that I've all cited in the first hour. I mean, again, it's it's not fair to just say, oh, he was great. He did nothing wrong. I'm not expecting him to be perfect, but let's stop just, let's just stop all of a sudden thinking he can do no wrong or he doesn't miss anything. I'm giving you three specific examples right there, and I'm sure I can come up with more of things he did not do well enough or good. Now, he made some big plays. Nobody is questioning that. Made some big-time throws on the two touchdowns to Terry and a couple of other throws. I got it. I understand all that. But my job is to, again, evaluate plus and minus. I never said he didn't play good. I said he was good to very good. I didn't think he was great.
I mean, to me, at the end of the day, I mean, without him, this team would be 0-7 or 0-6, whatever the record is right now. So,
yeah. I mean, so I wouldn't deny that.
It's because of him that we was in the game, and I wish we had the ball, and you know, if the defense would have stepped up and give him a chance and try to tie the game, but they didn't do that. They once again, you see what's going on with this defense, and I don't know, man. If they plan on trying to make a run at it, I mean, at least try to make a move, man. You have money.
Well, yes, so, they need to do that. But now more than, you know, perhaps we'll find out maybe more at 3:30. They might have to make a move at pass rusher or defensive end, you know, or along the defensive line more than at cornerback or wide receiver. Quite honestly. Because
we definitely need a CB.
I know, but my point is you might be down three defensive linemen this week. You might be able to get away with it against Carolina. I don't know if you're going to get away with it against the Bears or good offenses. And the Bears are obviously not a great offense at this point, but they are a much improved offense from earlier in the year. And that's 2 weeks away.
Without a doubt. So. Yeah, the Benjamin St. Jude, I mean, you hit it on the nail. Like, you know, the guy literally, like, every time me and you have a conversation about him, he's always grabbing. If he look up, like, I mean, like, if he turn a second, like, he plays scared. That's the only reason why he keep grabbing. And he ain't got that speed. Oh, if you heard him in the post game, he said, I'm not going to let nobody run by me. He said, I'm going to grab him. So that tells you that this guy plays scared. His IQ level of playing football is zero to none.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that. I mean, he knows that he's 6'2", and he doesn't have lightning fast speed. I mean, would you rather him let somebody blow past him as opposed to trying to make a play? I mean, I'm not telling you it's good enough. It's not. It's not consistent enough. But would you rather him?
Because of 25 yesterday, I think.
Okay,
I think
that's fair. Of course it had some. I mean, I chronicled in the first hour, cost them 11 points, no doubt. I got to run. Appreciate you. It's not all Benjamin St. Jude. Look, I know he missed a tackle, or what do you call it? Derrick Henry had extra yards on that big 27-yard run late because St. Jude did not tackle enough. Like, somebody blamed him for one of the touchdowns. That was not him. That was Sanders still at the goal line on the second one. All right, so real quickly, I'll tell this story. Here's what happened. So I go to get my lunch, and a loud conversation is occurring outside of the production studios on the way to the kitchen. And it's J.P. Finley, Landfill, and Brian Mitchell. And I hear, you know, and he thinks he's something like that. And I'm like, are they talking about me? There's something about the defense and the run defense. And sure as you know what, as soon as JP sees me, he's like, oh, there he is. So at least they were willing to acknowledge that they were bashing me publicly, but not with me around. But when I showed up, at least they acknowledged me. They put their ones in the air, baby. They acknowledged the tribal chief around here and then proceeded to make fun of me again, saying that I was crazy and foolish and that, you know, you can't take away the 27-yard run from Derrick Henry. I'm not suggesting to take it away. Not suggesting at all to take it away. What I'm saying is they did a decent job. Now, I saw something on Twitter, Matt, you thought I did a bad job with the characterization of decent?
Decent isn't the right word. And I think that it's important to note, because this was, everyone was freaking out. We said yesterday, on Friday, if the Commanders managed to hold the Ravens to about 150 yards, mm-hmm. we had a shot at a win. We managed to hold them to 174. We lost. So saying that if you're 24 yards more than what you thought they were going to do, that means it's a loss. That also doesn't mean that it was necessarily a bad game. It wasn't a good game.
Right. Decent is kind of somewhere in between,
Decent kind of has more positive.
It does?
Yeah.
All right. See, I kind of look at decent as kind of like average, mediocre.
I work with you enough to know what you mean by decent. But
so
decent,
that's why you said I didn't. I could have used a different word.
60-70%.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why people took offense to. I'm sure that's why people took offense, because I think I said pretty decent job, or whatever it was.
I kept on bringing up. Yeah. Here's the thing. Did you at any point going into this season believe that we were going to be 4-2 coming out of Week 6 and actually be competitive?
No, I thought they would be 2-4.
So the idea that people are complaining about the defense and all that, yes. It was the offense that kept us in this game. It was a shootout. That being said, there were drives that were stopped. There was actual defense that happened. It could have been much worse. Going in and saying, for a loss to a team that we perceived before the season even started to be a big blowout loss, being a one touchdown game, what? It's not the worst.
Yeah. It's certainly fine. It's above decent.
I think fine is a much better. Like, they were fine.
Yeah.
They weren't good.
They were competitive.
They were decent, but they were fine.
All right. I mean, I have a different connotation of decent, but whatever.
You hold decent at like 45%.
Here's the one thing that I will say. They've given up big time point totals to three, for the most part, offensive juggernauts. The Ravens, the Buccaneers, both on the road. Actually, three. I mean, all three on the road. The Ravens, the Buccaneers, and Cincinnati. Right? They only won one of those three games. But they were competitive in yesterday's game. They've given up three big... Like, people lose sight and context because we are such a analytical, statistically driven society. And everybody's got their head shoved up DVOA's ass.
Well, and if you look at the statistics for the Commanders this season, you would perceive them being a good team that's a couple years into a rebuild on the verge of being a playoff contention, like good team. No, last year we sucked. This year was supposed to be a rebuild, and it's turning out to be decent. So
So decent in that case is positive.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Because the entire season, we are well above what we thought we were going to be.
Okay.
Now, are we perfect? No.
Yeah.
Do we still have a lot of work to do? Yes. Are we much better than we thought? Yeah, it's been decent.
I would agree with that. All right, let's get more calls in here. Let's go to, Johnny in D.C. next up. Johnny, how are you?
I'm all right, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Good, Johnny. What's going on?
Man, I'm just calling in to chime in on what I'm hearing today. Man, as far as the team is concerned, man, I'm not disappointed in them at all. I didn't really expect much from the team this year. We got the most new players I think we've ever had on any Redskin or Commander team ever that I can remember. I've been a fan for a very long time. I can't remember when we've ever had this many new players on the team from one year to the next. And as far as the game yesterday is concerned, like I said, we played good. One thing I do have a concern over, I feel like yesterday, and I ain't hear nobody talking about it, was inside their stadium, inside the Ravens stadium, I was up top because my seat was somewhere close to the PA system.
Mm-hmm.
The sound, they was pumping sound in my opinion. They was playing the music. They was playing the rock and roll music all loud with crowd noise over their PA systems right up until we walked up to the line of scrimmage yesterday. And I didn't hear nobody talking about it or saying nothing about it. It just kept happening. It was like, okay, the meters, we had 115 decibels. And I'll be pointing to everybody around me like, do you hear the difference?
Well, okay, so let me stop you. I saw that. I didn't notice anything unusual about music or pumped-in noise or whatever, so maybe I just missed it. Maybe I didn't hear it in the press box, but certainly I saw all the video graphics that they run and constantly trying to fire up the crowd on defense and so on and so forth. Yes, I did see that. I did not notice. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I did not notice anything unusual, but, you know, I'm also not paying attention to that. So you thought it was unfair based on, like, how they do it at Northwest Stadium to opponents or based on other road games that you've been at? How would you?
Well, if that's I was basing that on how we do our visiting team and we do the PA at our system. And I remember we got in trouble for supposedly pumping sound in. And to me, when we were on the, I was on the lower level in the first half. In the second half, I was up on the upper level. And when you was up on the upper level, it sounded way different because you're closer to the speakers. You can hear the change in the sound. So I'll be interested to hear any other fans who was at the game yesterday, especially if you was up top.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about that on social media. So we can certainly throw it out there and see if other people that were there noticed the same thing, but I appreciate you. And let you run. There's a lot of noise in the background. Oh, my goodness, my ears. All right, we'll take a quick time out. My guy, the Birdman, I got a story about him coming up. He's a Ravens fan. So if you want to hop aboard, 301-230-0980, was Jaden great yesterday, or was he good to very good, which is how I would describe him? Was he great in your eyes? Who do you put the finger of blame on, if you will, on the defense? The run defense, which apparently I'm being too soft on. Or would you say it's the pass defense, which is what I think it was? Or would you say it's just a really, really, really difficult matchup at this point in the building process of the Washington Commanders? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, 223, Team 980. So I just seeing this now. It's coming across NFL Network, a news alert. Allen at risk to missing the rest of the season for Jonathan Allen. So, here's the breaking news from a couple of minutes ago. According to Tom Pelissero, I think first, feared to have suffered a significant pectoral injury that will require season-ending surgery, per sources. He's getting a second opinion. It would be a huge loss for Washington, obviously. So that's the preliminary news on the way for Jonathan Allen, and as we kind of feared yesterday, not good. So there you have it. Your reaction to that? Some of you on Twitter yesterday said, no big deal, he sucks, he's awful, insignificant. I think you're fooling yourself. He had started to play better. I'm not saying he's good enough for how much he gets paid. He's more consistent than Daron Payne, I tell you that much. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to my guy, the Birdman, who I have to say, took me to a lovely, lovely Maryland Townie seafood restaurant last night, and we had a great dinner together. Right, Bird?
Yes, we did. And you know, while we're talking about dinner, Matt, are you around? I need your opinion.
He's here.
On this.
He's here.
I'm here.
Okay. So, Matt, again, I take him to a crab cake spot, right?
Yeah.
What does your boy do, meaning the rooster? He orders a hamburger. Now, granted, it had a crab cake on top, but he ordered a hamburger.
You're missing the point, which was I didn't want all crab cake or only crab cake. I wanted the best of both worlds.
Now Matt,
yeah.
What say you? Do you go to a crab cake spot just outside of Baltimore where I tell him, it's an iconic place. I mean,
right.
the restaurant on a Sunday night had a 40-minute wait.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
I got to be honest.
Jumbo lump.
I wouldn't have gone for the burger. But that's mainly because I think, I'm assuming it was a cheeseburger.
I don't know if there was cheese. I don't think there was cheese on it.
Okay, if there was a cheeseburger with a crab cake on top, that's too rich, especially after a loss. Mm-hmm. My stomach's upset. There's mm-hmm. no way I'm putting that much food in my stomach.
Oh, yeah. So here's the thing, just so you know.
Sounds like a bad idea.
I basically looked at it as like a different version of a surf and turf,
yes.
right? I mean, burger instead of the steak, but I'm sure it was a quality burger. I've not had it yet. I was too full. And then they had And then they had a big old crab cake on it. Like they said, it was a 2 ounce. It looked huge.
Wait, you haven't eaten it yet?
No, I had I was busy having the cream of crab soup that I ordered and the French fries that came with it, which were both delicious. So I ate that. Plus, I had eaten a lot at M&T Bank Stadium.
I had given you like about 70% credit, assuming you actually ate it. If you bought a crab cake and a burger, and then didn't eat it, brought it home, put it in the fridge, and then you're going to have to reheat it?
Yeah.
That's going to be nasty.
It's in the refrigerator right now.
You're disgusting.
That's not true. Anyway, Bird, I appreciate you taking me to dinner, showing me that spot. It was excellent. Trust me, it will not go to waste. And I did, again, I did have the cream of crab soup, which was lovely. And I did have the fries.
He did.
So, you know, I mean, I ate.
And a pitcher of diet soda.
And a pitcher of diet Pepsi. I was like, at first, Maddie, you'll get this. She just came around and water? Sure. Looked lovely, right? I was going to stick with the water. I said, I'm trying to avoid the diet soda, you know, whatever. I said, because I drank so much diet soda at M&T Bank Stadium. I mean, they had these large paper cups with lids and straws. I was just carving through huge cups of Diet Coke all day.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
No, Diet Coke, not that. I would have chosen Diet Mountain Dew if they had it, but they didn't. But anyway, my point is I tried to resist, and then she was like, And he starts making fun of me, and I'm like, all right, okay. I love diet. Who am I kidding? I'd rather drink diet soda than eat. And I go through the first one so quickly, like in less than three or 4 minutes, because it was a lot of ice. And then she's like, you want another diet soda? I'm like, well, yeah, I drink a lot. Sorry. And Bertie's like, well, you could just leave the whole pitcher here. She's like, oh, I could do that if you want. And she did. And I used it the whole rest of the meal. And then I had to wonder why I had to go to the bathroom so bad after an hour and a half trip home from that restaurant. Whoa.
Did you have to make a stop?
No. I somehow made it. Barely.
You didn't go in your car again, did
you? No. I somehow made it. All right. Anyway, go ahead. You got about a minute to crow about your
all
boys.
Right. I'm not going to crow. The only thing I'll say is this. It was the defense overall, Chris. It wasn't the run defense. It wasn't the pass defense. The Ravens are hard to defend. You're right. You put Derrick Henry in that set. The only chance defenses possibly would probably have at this point, because, yes, they did stack the line. And I tried to warn you last week, Lamar's a different quarterback this year. He will beat you with their arm. So, really, the only chance defenses have at this point is maybe you have two really good safeties, but at that point in time, you're still going to have to deal with Zay Flowers over the middle in those crossing routes. I don't know what you do.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. It's not just Lamar anymore because of Derrick Henry, and because you have to commit the resources, and because now Lamar is in, what, year 7 and year 2 of the system, and they have weapons between Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman and Andrews and Isaiah Likely and the running backs, Justice Hill and what have you. Now, how do you pick your poison? Because if you don't play a loaded box, if you don't play a lot of man, if you don't play a lot of single high safety, what are they going to do? They're going to pick you apart like they did the Bills. The Bills played two safeties back, didn't touch Derrick Henry. Didn't touch him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Commanders did a good job overall. Nobody should be crowing or hanging their heads at anything. So I will leave you with that.
All right. Thank you, pal. I appreciate you. All good right. to see you again last night. That's my guy, the Birdman. Been friends with the Birdman since 1996. I think it is 1996. I think that's when I first met him. We had a delicious dinner. I forget the name of the restaurant, L&M, K&M, something like that, in Linthicum Heights, Maryland. It was a great, great, great seafood joint. Would highly suggest it. If they ever want to have the old rooster up there, I'd be glad with I'd come with bells on. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. The Team 980, more of your calls coming straight up. Stay with us, Jay Gruden, in a half an hour. All right, so the bad news, again, as we just told you a couple of minutes ago, Tom Pelissero, first of NFL Network, to report that Jonathan Allen is feared to have suffered a torn pectoral and is probably going to be lost for the season. However, he is seeking a second opinion. We will hear from Dan Quinn in about an hour, in which he will clearly be asked about that. And we'll see what he has to say. In addition, Dorrance Armstrong left yesterday's game late first quarter with a rib injury, not to return. And Javonte Jean-Baptiste was seen after the game exiting the X-ray room and limping around on either his foot or his ankle, which was banged up. Meanwhile, Monday Night Football tonight, we'll join it in progress here on the Team 980 after Wizards preseason basketball, which begins at 7:15 against Brooklyn. We will have the Monday nighter between the Buffalo Bills at 3-2 and the New York Jets in their first game under new interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich. Again, joined in progress after Wizards preseason basketball right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. One hockey game under, actually a couple of hockey games, I should say, with it being a holiday. The Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers are up 3-2 now in the second period over the Boston Bruins. LA doubling up Ottawa 4-2 also in the second, and the new Utah Hockey Club trailing Josh Harris's New Jersey Devils, who came in here and whooped up on the Capitals on Saturday night 2-0 as well. And that's what's trending. All right, good to have you with us on this Misery Motown Monday. So the Commanders only forced the Baltimore Ravens to punt one time. One time. Clearly not good enough. A little dose of their own medicine, right? So the question becomes, is this just a really bad defense against really good high-octane offenses, as we've mentioned a couple of times? Think about it. At Tampa, they let up 38 points. At Cincinnati, Monday night, let up 33 points. Yesterday, let up 30 points. Against three, what anybody reasonable would consider high-octane offenses. Now, before you go, well, like Linnell would do, the Giants, I got it, I understand that, held the Cincinnati Bengals kind of in check last night, 17 points, right? So it's possible. I would also argue this. There's nobody that thinks coming into this year and through six games that the Commanders' defense is in a better spot than the Giants' defense. The Giants have studs. Like, you guys all kind of, well, I shouldn't say all. A lot of you don't like Jonathan Allen pre-injury. Clearly wish him the best. Looks like he's going to be lost for the season here. A lot of you guys don't like Daron Payne. I think they're fine players. I think at times they're good and impactful. I do not think they make any sort of impact even close to Dexter Lawrence or even Brian Burns. And that was without Kayvon Thibodeau last night. The Giants are just better, period, on defense. Now, where they're not better is on offense. And I know Daniel Jones had a horrible game last night. And, you know, some people are getting after me because I've defended Daniel Jones. Again, just want to point out, just because people don't listen. On this show, they don't listen. On Twitter, they don't listen. Never said Daniel Jones was great. Never said he was great. He's better than you think he is. Never said he was great. And when I say better than you think he is, I mean, people, a lot of people think he sucks. He's terrible. He's awful. He's better than you think he is, if you're of that ilk. The impact of Jonathan Allen. Listen, Fedarian Mathis and Johnny Newton, I think they're going to be okay. But to say that it doesn't hurt you is ridiculous. Again, those two guys are going to have to play a lot more. And we've seen Johnny Newton's stat count go, you know, climb and climb and climb here over the last couple of weeks, right? We've seen that. So you're going to ask a lot more out of those guys, and that's fine. That's their job. They're both, you know, high second-round picks, or high to mid-second-round picks, I guess, is how I would phrase it. I think they're going to be okay replacing Jonathan Allen. Where you really get in trouble, though, is when you get later on in the season, or a day like yesterday where it's hot, right? And you're trying to rotate. And we know defensive line is a rotation unit. Now you have one less big chess piece. And again, if Dorrance Armstrong and or Javonte Jean-Baptiste are hurt and out for any length of time, and we don't have any updates on them, that's going to be make it even harder and worse. So the notion that they're not going to miss anything with Jonathan Allen is ridiculous. Just because he's not your favorite guy. Just because you think he should make more plays for the money that he gets. I got it. But quite honestly, in terms of snap counts, right? Jonathan Allen, according to PFF, 40 snaps, 41 snaps, 46 snaps, 33 against Arizona, 32 against Cleveland, and it's cut off here, but I think it's 27, I believe, yesterday. Like, you could say, well, we have Johnny Newton. And you're right. Johnny Newton tore apart a pretty good center, Linderbaum, on a second down run stop on that great defensive series at the end of the first quarter yesterday. Just tore him a new one. Watch it again. It's great. And he's a hustle and he's a young body and now he's finally healthy and Fedarian Mathis has been playing well. But again, it is going to have an impact. Don't think that it won't. More on Jonathan Allen as we go along. Again, hopefully we'll get better news on Dorrance Armstrong and Javonte Jean-Baptiste. But we will see. But that is the news on Jonathan Allen. It's not confirmed, but that is the reported news from NFL Network, which, again, if you don't want to believe it, you don't have to believe it. But trust me, this is not heading in the right direction. I understand people are down on Jonathan Allen. I got it. I understand. But by the way, he was pretty good against Arizona and Cleveland. He was not bad by any means against Cincinnati. I thought the first two games he was kind of missing in action for the most part, even though some of the numbers wouldn't tell you that. Yeah, he had a couple of quarterback pressures. I thought he was very impactful at times against Cincinnati and certainly against Arizona and Cleveland. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Thomas in D.C. next up. Thomas, how are you?
Okay, I'm doing all right. How you doing?
All right, Tom, what's going on?
I ain't called in a while, but I was just wanted to comment on something that you said. I'm not contradicting what you're saying about the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Quarterback been doing good. It's just that particular game right there. He didn't play great. You know what I'm saying? And I think he commented on himself about, you know, the type of he didn't want to be known, mm-hmm. you know, far as behind another quarterback, Lamar, anybody.
Right.
He wanted to be known for himself.
Yeah, he wanted to be
himself.
In
that particular game, I ain't talking about being great, pure. I'm just talking about being great in that game. What would have made him great in that game would have been him being doing what he'd been doing for us. He's a good thrower. He was doing that. But he was cut off his running. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite sure that the coach told him to get down because he was doing his little sliding. But if the Ravens would have caught him out there like that, They would have hit him.
Hit him on that one. If you remember, I'm trying to remember. the sequence, but they popped him really hard. I want to say it was near the sideline on a second down. They popped him pretty damn hard.
I remember that.
Not as hard as Jeremy Chin on Lamar Jackson at the end of the game yesterday, but still pretty damn hard. And he did have the baseball slide on one. But to your point, I think, right, if I'm smelling what you're cooking, is Jaden basically had to do a lot of yesterday on his arm and his eyes and on being a quarterback. He did not have the duality that we have seen for the most part through five games prior. So now it's a question of, okay, did the Ravens find a way to shut that down and can teams mimic it? Or was it just an off day because there was no Brian Robinson, because it wasn't part of the game plan, because it was just a thing? So that's what we don't know at this point.
Right. And that's a good point. And another thing was, we were waiting to see that type of game, to have that type of defense, to use it like as a measuring rod to see where we was at, you know, where the Commanders was at far as their play. And so that showed us something. It showed up the defense. It showed up a couple of things. But I was telling the guy I was talking to on the phone in your office.
Yep, Matt.
The Ravens can't compare themselves because they did that to the Commanders. But they're going to go out there and do that to everybody else because they got some defense out there that I'm watching this season that Henry, they're going to shut Henry down. It's like Kansas City. I'm just saying. It's defenses out there. They ain't going to do that, what they did with the Commanders.
Yeah, well, I'll be interested to see what Baltimore does next Monday night in Tampa because, you know, the Tampa offense is very, very, very good. I think we can all say that. I think the Tampa defense is better than the Washington defense. So it'll be very interesting to see that matchup and how that all plays out. But yeah, I'm with you and along the way with you, Thomas. I mean, you know, the bottom line is like Jaden is going to be elite if he can run and kill teams with his legs, but teams know that, so they're going to be playing extra, you know, emphasis on that. So then it's a matter of can he beat them with his arm and his eyes and his timing and his accuracy and all that. And yesterday there was a lot of examples of yes, he can, and there were some examples of no, he can't. And, you know, that's to be expected for a rookie in his sixth game. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening and calling. Let you run on that. Let's get to Mitch in Jersey here before the timeout. What's up, Mitch? How are you?
Good, Chris. How you doing?
All right, Mitch. What's going on?
Hey, nice to see Clayton Fowler doing a little better.
Dante Fowler, I'm glad you brought him up. Let me just jump in here. Dante Fowler had himself a badass game yesterday. He was all over the place. Yeah. Two sacks. I think it was two sacks, four tackles. I don't care, again, what the numbers say. He was more impactful than that is what I would say.
Well, now hopefully he play over me. We'll start. It was the fourth pick for the Raiders, and that's a disaster show.
Yeah.
We had no running game. I guess Robinson, not having Robinson didn't help. I don't see why we chose McNichols over Chris Rodriguez. He has an NFL body. That's just my opinion.
Well, yes. I mean, the one thing that I would say is, I mean, it's not exactly like they chose McNichols over Rodriguez. McNichols only had two carries. Did he get two more carries than Chris Rodriguez did? Yes. But Chris Rodriguez is on the practice squad for a reason. He's not as good in the other areas as Jeremy McNichols is.
Well, all right. I don't want to argue with that. It's your show. But we couldn't stop the run, couldn't get the running game. But overall, it's Jaden Daniels. He's the real deal. And now I think it's going to be neck to neck going for rookie year. But the division is still within our grasp because the Cowboys, come on, why don't you give Trey Lance a shot?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're not going to do that when they just paid Dak Prescott $60 million. They've got to fix their defense first. We'll talk to Jay Gruden about all that. Appreciate you, Mitch. I don't care about rookie of the year. I mean, whether it's Caleb Williams, whether it's Jaden Daniels, ultimately, you know what I care about? Who plays better next Sunday when they, and the Bears are on bye after their big London win against Jacksonville, and they're going to come in soaring, but they're also going to come in off the bye, which could be good rest, could be bad rust. Rest or rust, we'll find out together. I care about Jaden playing well in that game, and if he wins MVP, if he wins Rookie of the Year, whatever. I want him to play well. I want him to find a way, if possible, to just maybe make one more play a game instead of missing something pretty easy. Maybe that's too much to ask, but that's what I want. That's what I care about. All right, take a quick time out. More of your calls coming up. I see Paulie. I see Little. We'll get to everybody that we can. Jay Gruden coming up in about 12 minutes or so on the other side of 3 o'clock on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. Yeah, just looking up some numbers here on Jonathan Allen real quickly. Via Pro Football Reference, and everybody's snap counts vary a little bit. So it might be slightly different on PFF. But Jonathan Allen, 41, 41, 46, 33, 32, 37 yesterday in terms of snaps on defense. Special teams, you know, a sprinkle of those. So essentially, he was on target to play 40-plus snaps yesterday because, remember, he gets hurt late in the third quarter. Probably like 45 snaps, which, you know, would have been right around a season high. And while you all might think that he's overpaid and overrated and overhyped and over this and over that, you know, and Linnell hates him for his pregame little celebrations and firing up things and whatever. Go ahead. On a defense that might not have Dorrance Armstrong and or Javonte Jean-Baptiste, just go ahead and just act like you can snap your finger and replace 40-plus snaps a game. Go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, if you think that he'll be easy to replace, I automatically know that you don't know football. I'm not telling you he's impossible to offset. I'm not telling you that. Listen. I'm telling you, if you think he's easy to replace, you're not paying attention. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Paulie here before Jay Gruden. What up, Paulie? How?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Who are you, pal? Polly? Oh. Polly is not answering the bell. Put him back on hold, Matt, and I don't know. Let's go to Little next up. What up, Little? How are you?
Cool stuff. Shout out to Matt.
Yes, sir.
Ice, hey, look, man. I was telling Ice, man. Look like the game. That's why we wasn't getting no replays. I'm going to use two plays as a parable. First of all, St. Juice pass interference. That wasn't no pass interference, man. Even Romo said that. It's three situations I'm going to bring up.
Yeah.
The one against 70, and the second one was 71. Every time we get into a situation on third down, we know we can advance and get deep into the red zone. The ref called our play back, man. He threw a flag every time. And then we had to settle for a field goal. That's how we lost the game. And look, man, situations, I heard Romo call it out 2-3 times. Man, it looked like the receivers from the Ravens was picking picks to get their receivers open. Man, look, that game, man, you had the same ref crew. If you have that same ref crew, I'm going to say this to Birdman, since he called out his man about being a pocket passer. Let's see what he do, Birdman, when he have home field advantage in Kansas City coming in again and take it from him.
Well, that's a whole thing. Let me ask you this about Wiley. You mentioned Wiley. I remember a false start on third down. I don't remember another penalty that wiped out something.
Man, we had a third and three, which we was inside the 20-yard line. We was maybe on the 15, 16-yard line. They called a holding on Wiley, which wasn't a holding. They showed the replay after they kicked the field goal. Come on, man.
I'm trying to find it. Maybe I'm just looking in the wrong spot.
I'm trying to find it. It's not a misery Monday, Rooster.
Mm-hmm.
We went toe-to-toe with a Super Bowl contender. That's what they say they are. But we're going to see if they get through the playoff when KC come in and put that punishment on. I'm going to let you go on that note,
man. All right, Little, thank you. I appreciate it.
The ref stole the game from us.
No, I disagree with that. I mean, look, they missed some things. I know somebody sent me some blow-up shots, one of the face mask that they missed, another one. I mean, you can make an argument that they missed the horse, like a horse collar. They initially called it on the sideline on Lamar. I thought it was a good overturn. You can certainly say, look, you didn't like, as we started the show way back a couple hours ago, you'd certainly say, I didn't like the call on St. Juice. Got it. Understand that. To say that it wasn't a penalty, to say that you don't, have any idea why they called it, yeah, sorry. That's not fair. I mean, really slow. Just because Tony Romo says something does not mean it's true. Okay? I mean, watch that St. Juice second defensive pass interference. You see exactly why they called it. I'm not telling you I would have called it, but you see exactly why they called it. And if I'm honest with you, I probably would have called it. I certainly would have called it more than not called it. The refs did not cause that game. Did they contribute? Yes. That happens. I mean, you could look at every game from for the test of time, forever and ever and ever, and you could point out one or two things that if it would have gone your way, we would have won, and it didn't. All right, Jay Gruden is next. Stay tuned. We'll get the former head coach's opinion on everything that he saw yesterday in and around the league. And, of course, a strong focus on the Commanders and the Ravens on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com